Praise God. Thank you. You may be seated. God bless you. Powerful morning, right? Powerful morning. I am just in awe of what God has done in this meeting, thankful for His goodness, love and appreciate every speaker, Chris Hodges and Pastor Paul this morning. It just doesn't get any greater than the stuff we heard, and I'm leaving here with much more than I feel like I brought, and I hope that today you leave here with your vision more alive and kicking and jumping like never before. How many of you feel your baby leaping in your spirit in Jesus' name? If you have your Bibles, I would like for you to open them with me, please, to the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 10. And while you go there, I want to mention that I do have a brand new book out. It's been out about 6 or 7 weeks now. And it's called Love Like You've Never Been Hurt. I haven't written a book in 4 years. I got burnt out on writing books, and I stopped and said, I don't want to write anymore. And my wife and I wrote this book, and the publisher called me last week, and he said it is in the 7th reprint. And he said in 6 weeks that they had sold over 50,000, had sent out over 75,000 copies to different people who had placed orders. And it's not because I'm some special great author. We decided to get real and raw and tell things about real ministry. Sometimes you see a pastor, and my wife and I have been married 25 years. We have 5 children, and you can see somebody on the platform and think, they can't even relate to my family and to my marriage and to my life. But if you have a family, if you are a human being, if you're going to have any kind of relationship with people, you're going to have to learn to love like you've never been hurt. This is the most important book that I've ever written. I've written, you know, a lot of books, and some of them have gone around the world and so on. New York Times bestseller, all that stuff. This is the most important book I have ever written, and I'm not saying it just to push it. If you get this book, it will touch your life in a profound way, and that's why it's selling. And if I had one thing that I could leave with you, for each of you, it would be this book, because it's 10 years of our life in a book, and lessons and messages that God gave me in one of the darkest seasons that we ever walked through and continue to go through things. And every day we're learning to love like we've never been hurt. How about you? So check it out. It'll be a blessing to your life. I want you to go with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10 is where I want to go for just a few moments. Just a few moments. I have just a thought that I want to share with you today in this, my last session that I get to be with you in. Acts chapter 10. And let's begin reading in Acts chapter 10 with let's go to verse 13. And a voice came to him saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call uncommon." What God has done, what God has cleansed, what God has by His miraculous power performed, don't you ever call it common. I want to talk about that for just a few moments. 1 Timothy 1:6 said, "Put the brethren in remembrance of these things, and you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ." Sometimes being a good minister of Jesus Christ is to know that people need to be reminded over and over and over again. Our congregations need to be reminded of some things. What God had in mind in this text when He told, you know the story, you're all church people. God was about to take the gospel to the Gentiles and reach the entire globe. Up until this point, it had been confined to the Jewish people, but this would be Simon Peter going to Cornelius's house and preaching the gospel, and the Holy Spirit would fall. And the Bible said that the same way they received the Holy Spirit in the upper room, these people in Cornelius's house who were Gentiles were filled with the same Holy Spirit. And here's a man who has been in it so long, Simon Peter, that when God is trying to unfold his divine purpose, he calls it common. Not understanding that what he was beholding in the vision that God was giving him. You know the story. He was on a dietary law. He could only eat certain things, being a Jew, practicing his Jewish, you know, Moses law of dietary things that he was forbidden to eat. And he sees in the vision this table, and he sees the food, and the Bible said when he takes the platter up and he sees what's under it, it's food that's forbidden to him, and a voice says, kill and eat. Some years back in the body of Christ, I don't know if it came over here, but it went through churches. There was a diet that came out. Somebody wrote a book, and it was called the Hallelujah Diet. I don't know if you remember it, but it basically was a very healthy diet, and the book became very popular, especially in churches, and a lot of churches went on the Hallelujah Diet, which was basically peel, anything you can peel, you can eat. But other than that, if you can't peel it and so on, like vegetables and stuff like that, or fruit, bananas, things like that, you can't eat it on this diet. And they said there was a redneck, that's a real country guy in America, who stood up when his pastor said, we're going on the Hallelujah Diet, which is peel and eat. And he said, that's unbiblical. The Bible said kill and eat, not peel and eat. What he didn't understand, what Simon Peter didn't understand, was he was what God was doing in this moment when he was saying, I want you to go preach to these people, and I'm giving you a vision because I want you to know that they're not unclean. I'm going to cleanse them, and I've been waiting for this moment. What he was saying is, this is a 4,000-year-old plan. This thing started when Adam and Eve were in the garden, and I slew an animal and shed the blood and covered you with the skin. This is something I started when Noah floated out of the storm in the ark. This is something I started when Esther became queen and preserved the nation from destruction. This is something I started when a virgin named Mary gave a child a birth and named him Jesus. This is something that was started at Calvary, and on the third day he rose again. Don't you dare call this common. I've been waiting for this moment for the gospel to break out and go into all the world. The precious blood of Jesus is not common. But what happened, and what I want to focus in on, is we don't need to lose the wonder and the awe and the miracle of what God has done. If you don't watch it, you stay in the ministry so long that everything becomes common to you. Don't call this common. We need to be reminded as we sit here routinely and robotically sometimes that there is nothing about the church that we're in that is common. You are living an amazing dream life, and you better not act like you're over it. Here's some good advice. Get saved and never get over it. Don't ever call it common when God has done something supernatural in your life. It still ought to thrill you when you walk in that building. Sometimes my favorite things is to walk in my buildings when nobody's in there. And I can't believe it. I still can't believe it. But y'all gotten over it. It's common to you now. We need to be reminded. Our gospel is not common. Our salvation is not common. The God that we serve is not common. Our joy is not common. The life that you and I are living, come on, I'm in the ministry. I'm standing in Auckland, New Zealand. I'm as country as cornbread. I lived in a cornfield most of my life. And here I am preaching the gospel to thousands of people. Don't ever call this common. And God is not doing common things in your life. Give him a shout of praise if you know I'm there. It's a miracle you're here today. I said it's a miracle that you are here today. Think about how you got here. It's God that brought you here. The story of Noah and the ark, to me, the greatest part of the story is not the building of the boat, but the presence of the passengers. Somewhere in a deep, dark jungle, there were two elephants, a he and a she. And the he elephant turned to the she elephant and said, I don't know why, but I feel like going in this direction. Follow me. And about the same time, two gorillas said, I don't know why, but we're going to swing on over there in that same direction. And two lions said, I don't know why. I'm totally happy and comfortable in my natural habitat and environment, but we're leaving here and we're going over there, and there's a gangplank going into that big old boat right there, and we're going to walk across the gangplank and we're going to sit on that boat for some reason. It's a miracle. It was the only boat, and somehow two of every animal walked across that gangplank. It was a miraculous direction that they even were in the boat. And we come to church and act like we just showed up. There are millions of people who have seen the same thing, heard the same thing, but they didn't hear it and they didn't see it. But somehow you ended up in the kingdom, in the church, in the ministry, and here you sit, and don't you ever call it common. Somebody give him an uncommon praise if you know God's doing uncommon things. Hallelujah. I'm preaching myself happy right now. How did the animals get on the ark? God led those animals out of that natural habitat into safety, into being rescued. God led you out. God led you out of sin. God led you out of bondage. God led you out of suicidal thoughts. God led you out of depression and hopelessness and addiction and bondage. God did it. Calm down, Jensen. God did it. It's a miracle you're forgiven. It's a miracle your name is written in the book, and so the other books don't matter anymore. Don't lose the wonder of it. Don't lose the miracle of it and call it common. You shouldn't be able to sit on your seat when they get up and start singing about worthy is the Lamb and the blood that was shed. It ought to never get common. Don't call it common. It should never be common that, you know, we have six campuses. I'm not like Chris Hodges. If you go to Birmingham, Chris Hodges, you'll see a sign that says, Highlands Church, next 18 exits. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. But if you don't watch it, it'll just become common. We launched a campus in Atlanta 3 weeks ago, and I walked in there, and there were 1,100 people. Our first night, 1,100 people. And more importantly, the next Sunday night, 700 people. Come on. How many of you know it's not starting it? That's the big deal. But the thought hit me when I started Free Chapel. We had like 120 people. I would have given my front teeth for 700 people. But now if I don't watch it, I just walk. I don't even think about it. And it's become common to me.
We're living in a miraculous time, folks. Churches are going up like nothing. And if we don't watch it, it just becomes common. And God says, be careful, guard yourself, be reminded of the fact that the call that's on your life, the success you're having, the miracles that are happening, it is not common, and don't you ever call it common. Stay in a position of being in awe and wonder of the miraculous things God is doing in your life. Our enthusiasm should be fired up. Our thanksgiving, our appreciation, we still should be moved by the fact that, my God, I'm in the ministry. I'm living a dream. I'm living a miracle. Don't let God's greatness in your life become common. It's a miracle some of you are not dead. It's a miracle some of you are not drunk. It's a miracle some of you are not in a crack house. It's a miracle some of you are not in prison. Just go ahead and give your neighbor an elbow and say, that one was yours. I know about your past. Come on. It's a miracle. Anybody feel what I'm preaching right now? Don't you call common what God has cleansed. You ought to shout like you've never shouted before. This is not common. It's a miracle I'm blessed. It's a miracle I'm healed. Some of you got healed 10 years ago, and you haven't even thanked the Lord for it much. Some of you were told you couldn't have a child, and now you've got that child. If you don't watch it, it just becomes common. And you're going around with a miracle every day, but you don't give God the proper appreciation and praise because it's just become common. Don't lose the miracle of what God is doing in your life. God, look at this place. Look at the services at night and all that God is doing. Paul DeYoung, who he and his wife came to New Zealand and preached and started with nothing, and now it's a global ministry. This is not common. We should still be praising God for our buildings. We should still be praising God for our cars and our houses. And we should still be praising God for our health. And we should still be praising God for prayers that He answered 3 years ago that were so massive in our life, and we didn't know how we were going to make it, but He made a way. Because when you begin to thank God, thanking is cranking your engine of faith. When you start thanking God for what He's done, it cranks the engine of faith. Thanking is cranking. Come on, I'm preaching Southern right now. But just turn to somebody and say, thanking is cranking the engine of faith. And something about thanking God for what He did says, if He could do that back then, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm just not going to call Him common now because I'm in a trial. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that I could ask or think. And there's nothing common about my God. Tell your neighbor, don't call this common. Some of you are in business. God has blessed your... When God found you, you were broker than the Ten Commandments. You didn't have any money. You didn't have any employees. You didn't know how in the world you were going to make the payment to pay the light bill on the little office. And now you walk through and people say, yes, sir, how are you, sir? And people working for you and people out here and people over there. And it's just common to you. But you better never let that become common. What God has done, the great things God has done in your life, don't you call this common. If you ever ought to praise Him, it ought not to make you praise Him less. The more God blesses you with, it ought to make your praise bigger than it's ever been before, the more He blesses you with. Lucifer was expelled from heaven because it became common. I'm just the worship leader, and praise became common. And God kicked him out and replaced him with you. Some of you standing up here on this praise team, it's a miracle you're holding a microphone and singing. And don't you ever, ever, ever lose the wonder of it. That you're playing a keyboard or playing the drums or singing a song in your church, praise team leader. You're leading worship. The enemy thought he had you, but God cleansed you and raised you up and gave you a gift and put a microphone. Your gift made room for you. There's a lot of people who could do it a lot better, but you have the microphone, and don't you ever treat it like it's common. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day, every day, as the sun would set. And they got kicked out of the garden because they started acting like it was common and we can do whatever we want to do. I want you to see this verse, number 16. Number 16 and verse 9, Moses says to Korah, "Does it seem a small thing to you? Does it seem a small thing to you that God called you and separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself?" I want to ask every minister in this room, everyone who feels a call in ministry, has your ministry and calling to you, does it seem to be a small thing that you get to open up this book and preach the words of everlasting life? Don't let it become a small thing. Touch somebody and say, don't ever get over it. Don't forget his first name. Isaiah said his name shall be called Wonderful. Then his Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But don't forget his first name. His first name is Wonderful. He's wonderful. His ministry is wonderful. I know sometimes we have burdens, but don't ever let it just become a job and a career and something that we do out of drudgery. Don't ever call this common. I don't care whether I'm up or whether I'm down. The truth is, I will never let this be a small thing to me that God has opened doors no man can shut. And here we are today by the sovereign, divine, miraculous direction of God on our life. This is not common. Romans 6 and verse 13 says, "Neither yield your members as instruments of sin to unrighteousness, but rather yield your instruments or your body to God." Listen to this. "As those that are alive from the dead. Worship like you were raised from the dead. Tithe like you were dead in the emergency room and they ran in with the shockers and poof, and God brought you back from the dead. Serve as a greeter, as a worker, as a small group leader. Don't just do it commonly, but like God raised you and your children, like one of your children fell in the swimming pool and drowned, one of your babies, and somebody came in and gave it mouth to mouth. How happy would you be? How overwhelmed? If your children are in church serving God, you better not call that common. It ought to make you shout the praises of God, like, because they have been raised from the dead. I'm going to give you a chance now to take a praise break. And if you've got an uncommon God, give him an uncommon praise. I know you think this is just something we do because the preacher needs reinforcement. No, I want you to go back home with a spirit that says this is not common. And what God's doing in this church is not common. And don't despise the day of small beginnings. Tell somebody, my call is not small. I'm preaching now that Job said, can Job said to his wife something so profound. Job, you know Job, some of you don't ever read Job because it's spelled Job. Job, the book of Job, not Job, the book of Job. But he said something so profound when he started going through his trial. He said to his wife, he said, can we not receive evil from God too? In other words, do we always have to get miracles and blessed and healed before we can be happy and praise God? He actually said that when they were going through stuff and losing their house. He said to his wife, will we only receive good from the Lord? Will we not still realize that the fact that we are His children, no matter what's happening in our life, I'm not going to get up and say it's another day. Go around looking like the cover girl for the Book of Lamentations. Oh God, wonder what's going to happen today. You need to get up every day, I don't care what kind of season you're in, and say, this is the day the Lord has made. Everything's not perfect in my life. I don't have all the miracles I need. But you know what? God is good. And I'm not living the common life. I'm living a blessed life. I'm cleansed. I'm on my way to heaven. And you know, I don't care what's wrong with your life. If your name is in that book, this isn't common. Come out of the doldrums. Come out of the Sunday as usual when you walk into that place Sunday. Walk in there saying, this is not a common day. Go up there a little wild-eyed every once in a while. You know, you'd be amazed at what a little enthusiasm. You know, the word enthusiasm comes from the word theos, from which we get the word theology or God. God is the essence of enthusiasm. And so it ought not to just be another Sunday. It ought not to just be the third service on Sunday. It ought to be, oh my God, it's the third service. We have so many people. This is not common. A lot of churches are shutting down, but we're adding on. Oh, I feel like shouting. Everybody who's adding on and not shutting down, get up on your feet and shout to God and say, thank you, Lord, this is not common. Forgive me for letting it become common. I'm done. That's it. I'm trying to more than preach. I'm trying to infect you with a spirit that says, I'm wild-eyed today because I serve such an uncommon God. That every time somebody gets saved, don't just look out and see hands go up and say, well, I was, you know, that's what we do. No, that's a miracle. And the church ought to praise with such enthusiasm. We ought to preach with such excitement, with such thanksgiving, with such appreciation that what God has cleansed, let no one call common ever again. I look at my life and places I go and people I meet. It's stupid. It's crazy. And I don't ever want to lose the wonder. If you wonder where the wonder went, it went with the wonder. Do you still have the wonder? Do you still have the miracle that I am here and by divine direction, God put me in the right place at the right time? You're not that good. You're not that talented. You're not that cool. You're not that sharp. God has people that can do it a whole lot better than you, but He led you just like those giraffes. He led you. And here you sit in the house of God, highly favored, called, appointed, Quit measuring your success by everybody else's success. I don't care if Chris has 18 campuses. That's awesome. I've got 6, and that's not common for me. I'll shout over my 6 and be careful. I'm coming down the same road. Come on, church. Does anybody hear? If you don't watch it, you'll let somebody else's blessing make you lose your joy. I'm here to tell you I'm cleansed and it's not coming. I'm called and it's not coming. I'm on my way to heaven and it's not coming. I'm living a dream right now. One day I just dreamed to be in ministry. But look at me. I'm living the dream. And you are too. And the more you thank Him for what you've already got, the more He'll release greater trust to you. Stand to your feet. I want every pastor's wife who's been discouraged to throw your hands up and say, what God is doing in my husband and in my church and in my ministry is not common. Come on, I want every pastor's wife. Come on out of the doldrums. Come on out of the discouragement. Come on out of being hurt. Come on out of being betrayed. We have all done that. We could all sing that song. I want every pastor to throw your hands up, every youth pastor, every senior pastor. I want every pastor, I want every evangelist, I want every teacher, I want everybody in this room who knows God's been good to you. Throw your hands up. Open up your mouth and say, thank you, Lord. I'm living an uncommon life. Come on, take a moment. Just take a moment. Just let Him bring a parade of blessing across the screen of your mind. You'll see thing after thing. Look at that house you're living in. That's not common. Look at that car you're driving. That's not common. Look at, somebody said, well, that ain't all about the material. Will you go without some of that stuff and see how much it'll mean to you? Why don't you praise Him for everything He has given you and blessed you with? Let's lift Him up. To do something. We were talking back in the green room. I can't remember if it was this afternoon or maybe it was last night. But Pastor Chris said something so powerful that I immediately felt a witness. He said, I believe that God is calling the church back to the ministry of laying on of hands again. And I don't know what you're going through, but I know the heart of Pastor Paul DeYoung is that every person in this room be stirred up with amazing encouragement and joy and life more abundantly. That's what this conference is called. That's what this ministry is called. And I'm going to ask you, they're going to sing this one more time. And I really feel like that God has by miraculous direction caused the right people to be around you. that you will lay your hands on them, one another, pray for one another, stir up the gifts in one another, stir up the joy, stir up the wonder of it all, the calling of God. Come on, do you hear me? Would you please take a moment and pray one for another? Lay your hand on somebody and begin to release the power of the Holy Spirit as they sing this again. Come on, just begin to pray. Begin to pray for somebody. Don't do it casually. Don't do it commonly. What God's wanting to do is not common. Somebody's ready to give up, but you're not going to give up. Somebody's ready to walk out, but you're not going to walk out. Somebody's thinking about going back to the fishing net, but you're not going back to the fishing net. Somebody doesn't understand that what God's doing in your family is not common. You've been through severe, uncommon trials because the enemy knows there's an uncommon call upon your life and your family. So right now, receive the ministry through the laying on of hands of the Holy Spirit. Sing it with everything you've got. Come on. Lift him up.
Son of